This is On Point. I'm David Wright. President Trump campaigned on the promise to bring back American jobs. He also took a pretty tough line on China, among other countries. But this weekend, the president tweeted, out of the blue, it would seem, about jobs that need saving in China. The president has ordered a review of U.S. sanctions against Chinese telecom ZTE, which had been implicated in cyber espionage activities. Trump's about-face comes as the U.S. is engaged in trade talks with China and on the eve of the possible summit with North Korea, where, of course, China's leverage might be important. What do you make of the president's sudden concern about the welfare of this Chinese company? Is it canny politics or just a flip-flop? Joining me now from Washington is Bob Davis. He's senior editor at The Wall Street Journal. You can link to his latest story on this issue at our website, onpointradio.org. Bob, welcome to On Point.
Thanks very much.
Also joining me from Washington is Derek Scissors, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on the Chinese economy. Welcome to you.
Thanks.
First to you, Bob Davis, what do we know about why the president suddenly is concerned about this company?
Well, I think the president wants to deal with China, and China, one of their top priorities is dealing with ZTE and making sure that U.S. sanctions don't wind up as a death sentence for the company. He had a long conversation with Chinese leader Xi Jinping before he came out with that, shall we say, surprising tweet. The Treasury Secretary also is pushing in that direction, and I think he wants to clear the decks before the summit with North Korea, assuming that's still on.
Tell us a bit more about this company. What is the concern, and why has it been red flagged?
Well, I mean, in 2017, they were fined $1.2 billion for exporting U.S. technology to Iran and North Korea. It was the biggest fine the Commerce Department has ever levied. So that was a big deal. And then Commerce looked at them again. And then ZTE made a number of promises, essentially to clean house, not to do it again. And Commerce found that they hadn't gone through with their promises, and the punishment then was 7 years that you couldn't use U.S.-made parts, and U.S.-made parts are crucial to ZTE products, which are cell phones and communications device. So essentially, that probably would kill the company. Now, even before Trump got involved, ZTE appealed again to Commerce. They were thinking about it. It's very unusual for a government agency to actually impose a sanction that would put a company out of business. Yeah.
Still, the decision to go easy on the sanctions is not going over well in Washington. Here's Senator Marco Rubio on the floor of the Senate on Tuesday.
I think it would be deeply problematic for the national security of the United States and ultimately for his hopes of rebalancing America's relationship with China geopolitically, economically, commercially, and certainly on security.
Among the others expressing concern, President Trump's FBI director, Christopher Wray. He spoke with the Senate just yesterday, actually.
We at the FBI remain deeply concerned that any company beholden to foreign governments that don't share our values are not companies that we want to be gaining positions of power inside our telecommunications network. That gives them the capacity to maliciously modify or steal information, that gives them the capacity to conduct undetected espionage, that gives them the capacity to exert pressure or control.
Derek Scissors from the American Enterprise Institute, where should the politics be at this point? It seems like Washington is a city divided, even among the Republicans.
Well, I think it's President Trump and Secretary Mnuchin on one side and everybody else on the other. What the FBI director just said is consensus view, which is we don't want Chinese telecommunications companies operating in the United States to any significant extent. President Trump was criticized by Senator Rubio, Senator Schumer, many other people for his Sunday tweet. I think you'll see that language about jobs lost in China used against him in 2020. If there's a controversy, it's over whether ZTE should be part of a deal, whether we can get, as the president implied yesterday on Twitter, we can get a great deal or a really a much better deal than we've gotten with China if we include everything like ZTE. And even there, I think the president's wrong, although it's a much tougher call. The Commerce Department was a finding of law. It wasn't a matter of U.S. policy decisions like tariffs or Chinese policy decisions like holding up U.S. agricultural exports. We can't undermine American law for the sake of a deal with China that the Chinese, you know, very possibly won't end up keeping. So, you know, ZTE should not have a role in the American telecommunications system. That's obvious. We shouldn't care about saving jobs in China. That's obvious. The tougher one is whether ZTE should be part of a deal. And even there, I think the president is wrong that you don't undermine American law for the sake of reducing the trade deficit or anything else in a deal with China.
Let's hear from Roland calling from Nashville.
Hey, David. An aspect of this that I feel that we keep glossing over is ZTE being the largest producers of cell phones in the world, from what I understand, they rely heavily on American-made parts. So it's not, you know, maybe just Trump had a deal what he typically does and kind of bad on the communication of it, but it really is, it's helping American jobs and Chinese jobs. It's a win-win in my estimation.
Derek Scissors, assuming that's true, is that a justification for relieving the sanctions and keeping that company afloat?
I don't think so. I understand. The caller is absolutely right. There are American jobs at stake, and there's a cost to the United States of cutting ZTE off. There's a bigger cost to China, but there is a cost to the United States. But if ZTE is guilty of breaking sanctions on Iran and North Korea and then not doing what it told the U.S. government was supposed to do, our law comes first. And, you know, and the oddest thing about this is the president just canceled the Iran deal, which means sanctions against Iran are more important. And yet we seem to be sending a signal that, oh, yeah, you know, if you're a big enough company that's important enough in the world, as the caller correctly said, you don't really have to follow those sanctions. So there is an economic cost to the United States. Caller's right. I don't think it's worth undermining American law.
Aurora is calling from Rockland, Maine. Hi, Aurora.
Hi, David. You know, in the way that I look at it is this is pretty quintessential Trump. You know, he, on the campaign trail, went there and said XYZ that he was going to go against all of these different things. And then throughout this entire past year, he's done almost the exact opposite on all of those things that he promised on his campaign trail. And so the way that this looks like is just he's trying to get the best deal for him and for the best deal for not the United States. You know, he wants China to look at him favorably because, you know, probably in the grand scheme of this, he's got some kind of business deal also included somewhere in this, because we can see throughout everything with his different family members and with his different, you know, real estate transactions and other deals that he's got his fingers in a lot of pots. And so
that might be a little bit, I mean, that's a kinder way of saying it. I mean, what you're saying is that he has a short attention span and a bunch of competing interests and he bounces back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair criticism, Derek Scissors?
I think it's a fair criticism. I think the fact that the president would ever tweet too many jobs lost in China shows that's not something that I think he's happy about. I think he wishes he could take that back. So I think that does come out of maybe what Bob said about a call with Xi Jinping and talking to Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, and he just got caught up in that view and doesn't really mean it and then bounces back the other way. I just want to make one point. The president has been accused of benefiting from a Chinese loan in Indonesia. That's factually incorrect. The Chinese association with the Indonesia project. This is not by the caller, but by the media.
No, we have another caller who wants to get at that point. And why don't we hear from her, and then you can respond, okay?
Sure.
So Melissa from Youngstown, Ohio, talk to us.
Yes, hello. Well, I would actually be interested to hear what he has to say, your guest, because I had not heard that it was factually incorrect, but granted, I had not spent a lot of time researching the issue.
Sure.
But from the few articles that I had seen, it did seem like there was Chinese investment into one of the Trump businesses projects in Indonesia, and it seemed to, like many things, any kind of flattery or investment or quote-unquote donation always seems to sway Trump's opinion or behavior into favor of that particular person, regardless of what he has said in the past.
Sure. So this is a much more cynical view of an ulterior motive than whether he's trying to curry favor with China for helping the trade talks or the North Koreans. This is an accusation leveled in some publications that Trump branded properties in Indonesia stand to benefit from an investment from a Chinese state-run bank. True or not true, Derek Scissors?
The president and his family have a lot of business dealings with China, and if you want to say, I think that affects his view, I think that that could be true. We don't know that. But the Indonesia deal in particular, this company was tied up with the Chinese in 2015. They announced this project in 2016. They hired a Chinese company to build it. That hiring, if the project go forward, came with the Chinese loan. All this occurred before the president wins the election. As we remember, he wasn't supposed to win the election, and the project still hasn't gone forward, and the loan still hasn't happened. So this would be a very strange deal to change the president's mind. He has a lot of contacts with China that hasn't prevented him from using inflammatory language and threatening tariffs. This one is really minor.
Interesting. Bob Davis, have you done any reporting on that aspect of it?
No, honestly, I haven't. I defer to what Derek says.
Okay. I wonder, what is the status at this point of those sanctions, Bob? Are they still in play, or does the president have the power to unilaterally set them aside?
Well, depends on which sanctions you're talking about. The U.S. has already imposed sanctions on China of a couple of billion dollars for their steel and aluminum exports to the U.S. What's at issue now is as much as $150 billion worth of tariffs. They haven't been imposed. The first $50 billion of it is gone through most of the kind of administrative proceeding. The second $100 billion has kind of been lost in the ether. He can go through with it, unlikely, frankly, at this point, or he can set them aside. I mean, it's at his discretion.
Let's hear from Elaine in Schenectady.
The whole issue of Trump's investments in, Asia, and it was mentioned Indonesia, it brings up, in the public's mind, that he really should have divested fully, because it creates the appearance that he is favoring his own investments over things like national security and his relationship with China. He should have divested from these interests.
That's a very interesting point, and perhaps a fair point, Derek Scissors. The president is in the unusual situation of having a vast and complicated portfolio of businesses. Who's to say where the potential conflicts might be? He hasn't released his tax returns. We've had a new financial disclosure this week, but still lots and lots of questions. Shouldn't we know more in order to rule out the possibility of an ulterior motive?
I think I agree with that. If you're going to run for president, you don't get to keep your business or, frankly, your personal life just the way it was without public scrutiny. So even though I don't think there's anything to the criticism of the Indonesia transaction, I do think the caller is right that we would be in a better position judging the president's motives with a surprise event like this tweet on Sunday if we knew that there wasn't anything going on, an ongoing business with him or his family. Now, they have the right to continue their business, but it's not a good look. I do think it raises questions. And I think when you run for president, you have to make some sacrifices. President Trump didn't want to sacrifice this, and I think it was a mistake.
In the press briefing on Monday, the White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Rod Shaw defended the president's statements on this ZTE deal. Let's hear what he had to say.
He's introduced and proposed over, or rather up to, $150 billion of tariffs on China for intellectual property theft, dumping, and a range of inimical Chinese economic actions. So he's been tough, and he's confronted them. But on this issue specifically, he's asked the Secretary of Commerce to take a look at it.
That's Rod Shaw at the White House podium there. Where would you like to see this headed, Derek Scissors? I mean, you're coming at this from the American Enterprise Institute. I suppose you would like to see the White House maintain these sanctions regardless of whatever the trade deal is.
Yeah, I would like to put U.S. law first. When you're dealing with China, which is not a rule of law country, you have a lot of companies which will break the law because they are used to getting away with it. We need to make sure that does not happen. That should be the priority in dealing with ZTE and other Chinese companies. Beyond that, the president's really focused on the trade deficit, which I don't think is the right focus. But everything, below U.S. law is secondary. I don't have a problem. Bob mentioned earlier that the $100 billion sanctions hasn't appeared. I don't have a problem with that. That can be put on the table. Let's see what we can get in bargaining with China. But what we don't do is bend U.S. law for the sake of a trade deal.
Bob Davis, do you think this is a tempest in a teapot or something more serious?
No, it's pretty serious. I mean, ZTE is supposed to be separate from the trade deal. The White House can say all it wants that the president's been tough on China. Frankly, we'll see. There's talks this week, and we'll see how tough he really is. But ZTE is just separate. I mean, violating the sanctions on Iran and North Korea should have nothing, essentially, to do with whether the U.S. cracks down on intellectual property issues regarding China. They're just separate.
That's Bob Davis, senior editor at The Wall Street Journal, who covers economic issues. Thank you so much for your time today. Also, Derek Scissors, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can also follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amata, Stefano Kotsonis, Allison Poli, Catherine Proctor, Tanya Rally, and James Ross. The executive producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm David Wright. And this is On Point.